Good evening, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. As my intro was being played, a little wind picked up outside the patio here and blew in and knocked some of my papers off the table. Interesting. Anyway, it is a beautiful evening. The sun has just set. I'm looking out over in the distance. There's a 24-acre park behind our backyard with beautiful trees, Texas-style trees. And right next to the patio is a peach tree, full of peaches right now, and they're getting to almost full size. How about that? It's only the 8th of April. And I would guess there's about 25, 30 peaches at least on the tree. Last year we had a very good crop. We had almost 100, I think. And on the other side, we have a plum tree, but I don't think our plum tree is going to give us any plums this year. Darn it. It seems to only give us plums once every 3 years. Well, hello, everybody. I hope you had a good week. Again, I'm Blake Ruby, the author of The Gray Brain and The Golden Soul, available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. It's a book about spiritual matters. Spiritual truth, a lot of good things in there, and I'm going to talk about some of them tonight. But first, let me say I'd like to dedicate my show today to my co-worker, Mitch Lee, who I work with very closely over the last few years. I mentioned in my show last week that he passed away on the 25th of March. We had a memorial service for him this past week, Tuesday, I think it was, or Wednesday, I forget. Anyway, we had it at the chapel on Fort Sam Houston, and it was a very moving service, and I felt very emotional. I think all of us were. There was a lot of people there, co-workers, friends. And then Mitch's sons came to visit us at work. I'll tell you the truth, everyone. Mitch and I didn't always get along because we were in Toastmasters together. I'd been the president of our club, and we had a very successful club. We still are a successful club. And the next year after my being the president, I was vice president of education, which is like the second in command, and we achieved 10 out of 10 goals, so we did perfect. And this year was Mitch's turn to be president, so we kind of conflicted and didn't see eye to eye on certain things. He wanted to do things his way, which is understandable, but I was kind of set in my ways so the club wouldn't falter or not be successful, if you know what I mean. But we always forgave each other, and we shared a vision of being successful, and then at work, we were doing things together. He would fill in for me when I was absent doing my duties. I won't go into the details. And then we drove in his truck one time. We went to this place and we gave the spiel on Toastmasters to about 25 people. I still see him in my mind's eye up there talking and asking people to participate. He was masterful at that. Although he had his problems, and he wasn't always that way. He lacked confidence at the beginning, but he got better. Anyway, so I dedicate my show to Mitch. Mitch, I know that you're in the spirit realm. I hope you're with God. I hope God blesses you, blesses your spirit and your soul. I miss you, Mitch. I love you. Forgive me, please, I've asked for forgiveness for any wrong that I did against you. I know you probably think that you wronged me, but we're good. And I'll see you again, Mitch. I'll see you in heaven, buddy. In the meantime, enjoy that afterlife, my friend, where there's no pain, only joy. And everyone out there, let me tell you something. Mitch's family, his sons, they came to pick up his effects, you know, his personal items. If you don't get, if you not getting along with someone at this time, whether it's a coworker or a family member, you know, when they die, and suddenly like that, like Mitch did, and then you're wondering if you could have done something differently, said something differently, and you feel regret and remorse about that, like I did. But then the family comes, and you see the loss on their faces. The sons, beautiful young men. And then I realized that I've got to do better at trying to love people, regardless of not seeing eye to eye with them. And we all can do that. Give people more hugs, please. Tell them that you love them more often. Tell them that you're proud of them more often. Don't regret having said something or not having said something. Ask for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. God will give it to you. Anyway, so in the show today, I want to go over some notes that I've written down over the past week. And I want to talk about Jesus, who he was, but I'd like to pick up where I left off just a few minutes before the end of my last show about people who are homosexual, who are otherwise known as gay. I mentioned to you about the spirit. We have a spirit in our body, right? And when we die, that spirit comes out. In the nighttime when we sleep, that spirit or astral body goes and into the spirit lands, the dream land, they're the same, more or less, and plays around and refreshes the body and the soul. But as I mentioned in the last show, our spirits are of more one more gender than the other. In other words, in a male, typically the spirit inside is a male spirit. In the female body, typically, the female spirit, the spirit is a female spirit. Well, for reasons of perhaps karmic debt in a previous lifetime, a spirit of an opposite gender or a spirit of a particular gender will come into the body of an opposite gender, if you know what I mean. So a female spirit, and I'm saying that the spirit is predominantly more male than female. I think we're a little bit of both in the afterlife. But a female spirit can be born into a male body, and a male spirit be born into a female body. So what does this tell us, ladies and gentlemen? It means that we should respect those people. And I've seen them. I know you have too. By talking to them, I can recognize that. But I don't judge them. We must not judge those people. They're living their soul journey like we are. And it's very difficult for them, right? It's only getting better now. It's been very hard in the past. But we must show these people love. And then there are people who just want to experiment with homosexuality. And that's okay, because then we can see what it's like. I'm not saying to do it, but we have free will to do what we want to do. And so, again, don't judge these people. Be loving to them, please. Accept them like everyone else. Pray for them. Pray for your enemies. And on the subject of women, I mentioned before in my previous shows that there is a mother God, too. And my rationale is this. We call Father God, Father. Logically, there can't be a father without a mother. Am I right? Or a father can't have children without a mother. You agree? And I'm a man. I'm married. I've been married before. I want to have a woman around. I love female companionship. What makes anyone think that Father God would be anything less? I propose to you that Father God has a companion, Mother God, which is in fact his soulmate. Because when we're created as souls and spirits, as God breathes us into existence, our Creator breathes us into existence, we are created in two parts, male and female, the yin and the yang, the alpha and the omega. So everyone, you have a soulmate out there. And when you find, it could be anywhere on this earth. They might not be incarnated at this time, but eventually you will reunite with your soulmate. That's when you go on to do great things like have your own sun and your own solar system and your own children, millions of them. But that perhaps is way in the future because we're on the process of evolution and we're at the lower step of the evolutionary ladder, if you know what I mean. But each and every one of you is a co-creator apprentice. One day you will be evolved enough to know how to speak those words, make things come into existence. Matter will react to the words, just like it says in the Bible, God spoke and things were created, right? So that's what we got to look forward to, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it behooves us to live good lives, to be kind to each other, to pray. Remember in my last show, I said, pray for everyone. That is the key to loving each other. Pray for your enemies. Pray for anyone, everyone, our political leaders. Pray for Mr. Trump, for all members of Congress. Pray for the leaders of the nation, for Mr. Putin. A prayer for him. May God bless Mr. Putin. We don't want to get into a war, do we? They can destroy us, you know. We can destroy them. But do you want to die in a nuclear holocaust? Let me take you back to 1989 when Mr. Reagan met with Mr. Gorbachev. Can you feel it? The walls broke down, the Berlin Wall. There was something in the air, right? There was that brotherhood. Yes, the Russians, they're just like us, human beings. Why are we killing each other? Like with Syria, why did they gas those people? Why did we retaliate? Why are we killing each other? We're brothers and sisters in spirit. You want to die in a nuclear holocaust and have our whole world destroyed because we couldn't get along with someone? We didn't know how to communicate to settle our differences peacefully and diplomatically? So I ask you, pray. Pray for each other. I'll say a prayer at the end of my show today. So, going back to what I was saying about a man without a woman, why did the early church make this a paternal thing? Well, subjugation, my friends. You know, women have just come out of subjugation recently. You know, they had the right to vote. They got the right to vote in the early 20s, 1920s. And then there was the women's movement, women's rights, equality. That's what it's all about. We want equality, right? That's the fair thing to do. That's the loving thing. And let's respect women for the co-creators they are. Having a baby grow in your body for 9 months, that's no ordinary thing, man. We can't imagine that too well because we're not women. And maybe that's another reason why a man might want to incarnate in a next life into a female body to understand what that is like. And maybe, as I mentioned with karmic debt, for men who treat women badly, that would be a way to repay that debt come into a woman's body in a next life and pay that karmic debt back. Anyway, moving along. Let me backtrace a little bit. Let's recapture that magic of the moment from 1989 and the breaking down of the Berlin Wall. Mr. Reagan and Mr. Gorbachev, you remember how great that was? We can make it happen again. We can put aside our differences. Russians are cool people. We share the space station with them. We help each other in space exploration. I know that we beat them to the moon. That's no reason to be fighting with them, though, is it? Let's love all of our neighbors around the world because they're human beings just like us. And speaking of around the world, when you look down from outer space on our planet, you see that beautiful blue, cobalt blue world spinning slowly, rotating slowly from outer space. Isn't that beautiful? We're all a part of that. Going through black space on this beautiful, round, blue water of 80%, world full of 80% water. 80% water, I guess, not full of. Okay, on to another subject. Music. What kind of music do you like? You want to hear some music that's very spiritual that I found is very spiritual? There's a group called 2002, a man and a woman, and they play their own instruments. Randy and Pamela Kopas. Beautiful, beautiful music. You can find it on the internet, YouTube. 2002. Beautiful songs. Awesome. Listened to them for years. And another one is Gandalf. He has an album called, and the 2002 has an album called The Emerald Way. That's one of my favorites. So many good songs. And Gandalf, he has an album called The Sacred River. Just spiritual music, new age, you know. It'll make your, give you goosebumps listening to it. We like that, right? Okay. Next subject. I went to a gospel fest today out in Helotes, Texas with my wife. We had to be there at 12. Our gospel choir from the chapel on Lackland Air Force Base was invited out there to sing some songs to this First Baptist Church of Helotes. And we sang five songs. The band before us, because we have a band, the band before us was called Blue Skies, and they were just tremendous. They sounded really good. They played a banjo. They had a banjo, a violin, a ukulele, what it looked like. It looked like a ukulele and a guitar. And one of those big basses, you know, that you strum on. On the subject of suicide, I mentioned to you before in a couple of my other shows, and last show I said, and I'll say it again, please don't commit suicide. Anyone, if you know anyone, pass it along. This is a violation of what God wants. You'll find yourself face to face with an angry God, believe me, because I read about it in the book Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore. You've got to read that book. It is incredible. She came face to face with God, and she knows what God looks like, and I've read about what God looks like. Do you know what God looks like? You should, because if you pray, you should know who you're praying to, right? It helps to know what that person being looks like. So, suicides, they go to a place like a holding area, and then they're whisked off to a dark plane. And they're corralled in, fenced in like a jail by dark energy and dark matter. There's no hope there. There's no love. There's no light. People mumble repetitive words, blaming themselves for what they did. And it goes on and on. And our dogs just start barking. Had to take a drink of water. Anyway, so have you noticed something, too? For people that, it happens a lot, people that commit murder. Do you know, very often, those same people commit suicide. This is on a little different subject. Why do you think they commit suicide? Because when they commit murder, when they kill somebody, one, two, more people, God forbid, you know, murder's a terrible thing, and you'll find yourself in God's jail in the afterlife unless you repent, and you still might, I'm not sure. But those people that kill somebody, they turn the gun on themselves, and you know why? Even they shouldn't do it. But the reason they do that is because when you take the life of somebody, all of a sudden you are overwhelmed with what you just did. And a lot of these people have no sense other than to take their own lives in retribution, if you will, for what they've just done. So the moral of the story, my friends, is don't kill people. Don't kill yourself. Moving on to nicer things, I'm sorry if I was off on a negative subject there, but that's a very real subject, suicide. And there's so many people that are committing suicide, and they shouldn't do it. And you can help, please, by spreading the word around. There's ways to get through things, you know. There's the Bible. There's reading about people that have had near-death experiences, extraterrestrial phenomena. Increase your spiritual knowledge. Don't drink alcohol. Alcohol is one of the leading contributors to people committing suicide. I know. I was almost there myself one time. I know what it's like. You hear these voices. If you're addicted to alcohol or drugs, it's very easy for someone to be kind of talked into, if you will, by maybe these voices, you know, bad spirits, demons, they exist. That's why it behooves us to be pursuing a spiritual path, right? Okay. I'm going to talk about a subject which people might find different, if you will. It might be offensive to some, but I'm only concerned with the truth. I'm a truth seeker. I seek God. And I've learned this from people. So it's very complicated. I'm going to try to explain it as best I can in a short of time that I have, because I want to go on to other subjects. Who was Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ was born, about 2,000 years ago, there was great negativity in the world. There was all kinds of acts of depravity and sinful nature going on. So the time was ripe for divine intervention. Let me say this, and I've said it before. Our world has been monitored by extraterrestrial civilizations for thousands of years. The universe, my friends, is teeming with life. We're kind of stuck in a Copernican gap right now. The way things were 500 years ago when people thought the Earth was at the center of this universe, and it's not. And slowly the mindset changed. Now we know it's revolving around the sun. And our solar system's revolving around the Milky Way galaxy. But people back then, just like you and I are now, used to think that. And now we're stuck in that same gap. We don't know if there's life out there because we don't have proof. But how much proof do you need? What kind of proof do you want? What kind of proof would satisfy you? And is that a good thing? Why can't you believe without proof? You know God's real, but you can't see God. So why can't we bridge the gap between belief and knowledge? We should know that this whole world just couldn't come into existence by itself, by accident, right? And so, with all this life on Earth, as I mentioned in my last show, the million plus insects, the thousands and thousands of mammals, amphibians, reptiles, birds, fish in the sea, the trees, the flowers, the fruits, the vegetables. My friends, if this all happened by accident, could it not happen by accident elsewhere in the universe? Is that not logical? Is that not logical? But if there's a creator who made all of this, wouldn't that creator have the power and the knowledge to create the same life, or maybe even different life, elsewhere in the universe? You know what I mean? So, we have many extraterrestrial races that are presently engaging with us over the years. Check out this trailer and this video that's on YouTube. It's called Fast Walkers. It will convince you without a shadow of a doubt. Write it down, Fast Walkers, because it's part of the Disclosure Project. One guy on that video says that the Earth is presently engaged with over 60 types of extraterrestrial races. Point is, they've been part of our history, going back thousands of years, even to Moses' time. And let me propose to you that, indeed, some of what is in the Bible can be related to extraterrestrial intervention. Back then, they didn't know that the universe was teeming with life. They were very, very low on the evolutionary scale, if you will. Not scale, but in our soul's journeys, they were, you know, at just beginning. And so if they'd see someone like a spaceship land on a mountaintop, Mount Sinai, with fire and thunder, they would think that was God, right? Whereas it could have been an extraterrestrial race. In Eric von Däniken's book, Chariot of the Gods, he talks about that. There's many, many instances, Ezekiel and his wheel. Another one, the parting of the Red Sea. Extraterrestrial, a spaceship, a tractor beam. We've seen it on Star Trek. Star Wars, they have that technology. Matter. Transformation, anti-gravity beams, electromagnetic beams. It's pretty straightforward. It's just science. There's a lot of things we don't know. We haven't split the molecule down to the smallest part yet. You know, quantum mechanics has made great leaps and bounds over the years, but we still have a long way to go. So that we can transform matter, like in Star Trek, where they put something in this matter transformer, and bingo, they have all this really cool food to eat, right? Put a little piece of whatever, something in, like a microwave, hit a button, a nice juicy steak with mushrooms, just like that. Tastes just like the real thing. And it's more nutritious for your body because it has all the right minerals and vitamins incorporated into that matter. Anyway, so back 2,000 years ago, the time was ripe for divine intervention. God decided to, with the assistance of an extraterrestrial race on the planet Thyuba, as I mentioned in my last show, put this plan into effect. And they found a woman, the Virgin Mary, and she was artificially inseminated. But the baby that was to be born did not have the knowledge to perform all the miracles that Jesus would need to perform in his life to convince people that God is real and that there is life after death. And so a very advanced soul was born in Bethlehem. Let me explain something about our pre-existence. We came from heaven and we're going to return to heaven. We were made to forget our pre-existence. That is part of the planet that we belong to. We're on a Category 1 planet of the lowest evolution on the evolutionary scale. Some of us are advanced souls, but the majority of people here, I think, are beginning souls. Some have been in existence for thousands of years and have had many past lives. So when we are born into this world, we go through what is called the River of Oblivion, where all of our knowledge of our pre-existence and our past lives is erased from our memory, from our minds. It's called a veil. But we can still learn about our pre-existence. I think that it's a challenge for us to do, and we can do it. It's all part of our spiritual development. So with the baby that was born in Bethlehem, and by the way, the Star of Bethlehem, that was an extraterrestrial probe that was rendered luminous to shine down on that manger where that baby was born. Well, that baby grew up. He had a brother, Uriki. And because he was an advanced soul, he did many great things. And he taught the Pharisees and the scribes, and he read from the Bible. And then when he was about 12 to 14 years old, he left that area and went to China and Burma. And his brother Uriki went with him, and he got killed. I think it was in China. But anyway, the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem wound up in Japan. I'm trying to remember the name of the place where he got married, had children, and died there of old age. You can check it out on the internet. Yes, you can check it out on the internet. I think it's Senshu or some city like that. But here comes the good news, ladies and gentlemen, because that was all part of God's plan. In coordination with the extraterrestrials from the planet Thyuba, one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced in our Milky Way galaxy, these are hermaphrodite human beings, approximately 9 feet tall, who have great capability to do things. Their knowledge is fantastic. They have mastered the art of levitation, telekinesis. Their spaceships travel 7 times the speed of light. They can go interdimensional. And you can read about them in the book Abduction to the Ninth Planet. So the first part of the plan was done. And now the second part came when they asked a being by the name of Ariok, A-A-R-I-O-C, who was living on the planet Thyuba, a Category 9 planet, which means the highest on the evolutionary ladder level. It's a planet of great beauty, of intense colors. Life gets along there. They don't eat each other. You know, it's animal life, I mean. Trees can grow up to 200 feet tall. The seas and oceans are pristine and clear. There's like gold dust in the atmosphere. And the beings that live there are very evolved, of course. Theirs is the highest category. And so they do great and wonderful things. One of their tasks that God has given them is to monitor civilizations like our own and to intervene when necessary. So the plan was this man, Ariok, he would come to Earth and be put in a human body. And yes, how about that? These extraterrestrials can create a human body just like ours. It contains other bodies like the physiological body, the astral body, the fluidic body. There's several bodies in one. Some of you might know that already. Remember seeing the movie Avatar? You remember how they put their beings into that blue body? Well, that's the same principle, the same process, if you will. And so he was, Arioch came down in their spaceship near the Sea of Galilee. And he'd been taught the language, of course, and had to go through extensive training in preparation to perform all these miracles and be resurrected and set the stage for centuries to come. And we're still remembering all the great things that happened. So they put him down, of course, probably under the cover of night, and walking in that body, which may have resembled, I think, what Jesus, the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, who went to Japan, what he looked like at age 30, because like I said, they can create human bodies and can create the facial features, whatever. Just like in the movie Avatar, right? It's not science fiction, ladies and gentlemen. You got to believe. And then I'm kind of piecing this together in what I think actually happened. And so Jesus shows up when John the Baptist was baptizing people. And that set stage, if you will, for the next things that would happen. All the miracles that Jesus performed. Some, I believe, were with the assistance of a spaceship up above, like walking on the water, calming the seas, distributing the bread and the fish to the people on the Sermon on the Mount. Matter transformation, beaming down. What else? Curing lepers, curing the blind, healing the paralyzed. Lazarus. Now consider this as a possibility. Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick, and he said, well, let's not go there right now. Let's go there in 4 days. So they get there, and they say he's been dead for 4 days. But what if the extraterrestrials beamed down, had maybe at nighttime injected him or put some kind of chemical in his body that would have slowed his heartbeat to where he would have seemed like he was dead. And then when the time was right and they rolled back the stone of the grave because they'd beamed back into the cave the night before and injected some kind of revitalizing chemical. So that when Jesus called him out, and he got up and came out. But what about the resurrection? That's the greatest miracle of all, right? Well, Jesus knew he had to die on the cross. That was the mission because, and I know the Christians say that he died for our sins. Well, you can believe that because that's the reason Jesus came. I mean, that whole plan was put into effect so that we could be redeemed from our sins. But as far as the Garden of Eden is concerned, I don't believe that. And I'm entitled to believe what I want to believe, right? I consider myself mostly a Christian, but would you persecute me because I don't believe that? As I've mentioned before, the Bible was a stepping stone for me, but it only took me so far. And you know, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not an Islam believer, although I believe in parts of their religion. As I mentioned to you before, religion is like a money-making business, you know. Unfortunately, that's the truth.
I had some problem with my computer. It turned off, and I couldn't get back onto Skype, and I don't know what happened. It might have been some extraterrestrials who maybe didn't want me to tell you the truth on certain things. I know I was cut off at about 8:39, and I can't remember. I don't know where it was I was cut off, and I think I have a few minutes left. I show 8:50 on my computer, but I think it's later than that. I think actually on my cell phone here, which I'm talking to you on, it's 8:58 p.m. So I have a few minutes, and I don't know where I left off. I might have to do this again. And that's our dog, Shakira. There's a dog next door, and they started barking. Anyway, for those that were listening to me, and I was talking about Jesus, let me say this, that the Jesus that died on the cross, was brought back to life by an extraterrestrial race. These aliens from Zyuba, who are very spiritually and technologically advanced. Imagine anyone who was listening to me before probably heard most of what I was talking about up until when I was cut off. So, like in the movie Avatar, as I was saying, these aliens, these extraterrestrials have the capability to create human bodies, much like that body was created and then the spirit of the people came into those bodies, right? So that's not too wild-fetched of a concept to believe, if you know what I mean. Well, once Jesus died on the cross, and indeed his body was dead, and he was put into the grave, into that cave, the extraterrestrials beamed into the cave, retrieved his body, beamed back aboard the spaceship, and brought his body back to life in a similar process to how they created the body in the first place. So, I've got to summarize now. I don't know exactly where I left off. And you can believe that or not. As I mentioned to you, I consider myself more Christian when we're talking about religion. And religion is a business, you know, because it makes money. But more than anything else, I'm a spiritual person. I believe in universal truth, spirituality. And I'm entitled to my opinion, right? As I mentioned on a previous show, would you harm anybody because they didn't believe what you believe? If you're secure in what you believe, then why are you worried about what someone else believes? That's not because you want to try to save them. I believe it's because the knowledge that was given you was passed down. You didn't really think it for yourself. So all some people do is spout what they've been taught without really thinking about whether or not something is the truth. I'm trying to put this in a nice way because I don't want to say anything negative on my show. And now I only have a few minutes left. This has been a good time, although I understand technical difficulties happen. And I did get to explain about Jesus. And if you want to read about what I just talked about, then please go to the Amazon Kindle bookstore and look at my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. Anyway, so let me say a prayer, because I only have a few minutes left here. Dear Creator, Master of the Universe, I humbly pray to you, give you thanks and worship you and praise you for the miracles of all creation. When I look up into the sky at night, Creator, I see the stars and I know you created them and how great you are for doing that. And when I think about the life here on Earth, the multitude of life of many different types, I think how great you are. And the whole universe is held into existence by the might of your power. Every hair on our head is numbered because of your compassion. You are a loving Creator. Yet you supervise this great process that we're undergoing, this great happening of evolution. Your plan is being put into effect from the beginning of the universe, from the Big Bang, to all the galaxies that form, through infinite space, expanding, accelerating. God, we love you because it's the right thing to do. Who can compare to you, God? To create a world like this, with an atmosphere and all this life revolving around our sun, just getting the right amount of sunlight, like clockwork, without any fail or error. Perfect. Otherwise, we'd be dead. Yet you keep it going, that power. How great you are, God. We thank you. Please, bless all of us, everyone, on this world. Please bless especially our leaders, Mr. Trump, Mr. Pence, Mr. Putin, the leaders of Iran, Mr. Kim Jong-un. Please bless them. We're supposed to pray for our enemies. We're supposed to pray for the people that we don't like, but it's not that I don't like Kim Jong-un. I just pray for him that you would bless him and change his heart in the way that it needs to be changed so that we may all recognize ourselves as brothers and sisters in spirit. Why are we killing each other, God? Help us not to. Help us to love each other and to realize that to love each other, the key is prayer. Prayers like this. And you hear our prayers, God. I know you do. You are our creator. You saw our development in our mother's womb. And you saw us being born on that day in the past. And you know the day that we will die. Some die in different ways, some of natural causes. Like that soldier I heard about this morning. Poor Phil. That's another story. The point is, we all could die. And so, God, whether that's tomorrow or some time far out in the future, many years ahead, be with us, God. Guide us. Show us the way. Grant us wisdom to do things that we won't regret having done later. Thank you, God. You are father and a mother. Both. I can also call you spirit mom and dad, too. What is a man without a woman? What is a father without a mother? How can it be children without a mother and a father? And we are all your children, God. Jesus was one of your sons also. And we are your children. I understand that. Some people may not understand that they are children of you, but they will one day. God, thank you. Help us to praise you, worship you. That holiness, that zeal that you're looking for, burning, that's what you want. And once we go out and come in, and we're with you, God, we will never leave. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Blake Ruby, the author of The Gray Brain and The Golden Soul. I hope you all have a great week. Until next Saturday, take care. May God keep you safe and well. I'll talk to you later.